In April, Barry Havlik joined FINRA as Executive Vice President of Member Supervision, a new name for what was formerly known as FINRA's Member Regulation Group. Turns out that name change was just a teaser for big changes yet to come. Today, we sit down with Barry to hear more about her vision for her team and the recently announced consolidation of the examination and risk monitoring programs. Welcome to FINRA Unscripted. From New York, I'm your host, Caitlin Kiernan. I'm very pleased to be joined today by Barry Havlik, Executive Vice President of FINRA's Member Supervision Team. Barry, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
While relatively new here, Barry, you've been quite busy. You've spent a lot of time traveling to visit FINRA's different district offices, to meet with not just FINRA staff, but also firms across the country. And in October, you made a pretty big announcement. You said we'll be consolidating three different examination teams into one program. Before we get to that, though, I wanted to start with you, since you are new to a lot of our listeners, and I'm sure they're interested in learning more about the leader behind this big transition. Before you joined FINRA, you spent 14 years as Chief Compliance Officer at Charles Schwab. Given that long career in compliance, what brought you here to FINRA?
I'd like to say that's as long as my career is, but it's not. I've been in the industry for quite a bit. What brought me to FINRA was my passion for what FINRA does, investor protection, maintain integrity of the markets. I'm very passionate about that mission. It's very similar to what I did in compliance. It's making sure that we're doing right by clients, by the investing public. So I think the roles were very aligned and very similar. And having experienced FINRA as a chief compliance officer, I bring that passion for seeing how we can better leverage FINRA's talent and skills to do the work that we do at FINRA and have a more positive impact on the firms and their resources.
So you bring a new, unique perspective to FINRA. And while you were working on the other side of the table in compliance, what did you personally view as FINRA's greatest strengths or weaknesses?
I think one of FINRA's greatest strengths, particularly, I'll highlight it since Robert joined, which is understanding the firms that they regulate and listening to the member firms. I think that was a great strength. I think the people that work at FINRA, one of its greatest strengths is, again, their passion for the mission and investor protection. I think that's been fantastic. And you can see that when examiners come into a firm, when they interact with a firm, they take their jobs very seriously, as we would expect. I think one of the weaknesses that I saw when I was on the other side really was around the lack of coordination based on three different examination programs. Because there was not the coordination between those three programs, we would experience duplicate requests for information. We sometimes experience situations in which two different exam teams would look at the same issue, come to different conclusions. So that lack of coordination and duplication of efforts has a negative impact on firm resources. So I think that's one of the things that I think we have a great opportunity to improve upon. And I think one of the other challenges that I saw on the other side of the table was sometimes having examiners come in and based upon the questions that they asked, and I will say this is a few years ago, based on the questions that they asked, it was clear that they really didn't have a good understanding of the firm's business model and the size of the firm's business.
So since you've joined FINRA, what has surprised you most?
I think the breadth of the issues that FINRA is dealing with, I mean, it's a little bit mind-boggling how much is going on here and how hard everybody works. It takes my breath away sometimes.
Is there any issue in particular that really surprised you?
Not one issue in particular. Like I said, it's the number of issues that FINRA's trying to deal with at the same time, the amount of change, taking in all the feedback and responding to the feedback that's come in through 360, the changes in the business environment, digital assets, fintech. There is just a lot going on.
So to transition to the big announcement, at the beginning of October, We said we were consolidating the examination and risk monitoring programs and that you would be overseeing this transformation. Why are we doing this?
For the reasons that I just talked about a bit ago, it's not really a good use of FINRA resources or firms' resources where you've got FINRA staff duplicating efforts, not coordinating, and that certainly has a negative impact on FINRA. It has a negative impact on the firms. I also believe that pulling those exam teams together and having one exam program, we will look further to tailor those examinations to the risks associated with the business model of the firm. So it's making better use of FINRA resources to really look where risks reside in the industry, risks to investors, risks to the integrity of the markets.
The announcement said that the new program will be organized around a firm's business model. What does this mean, and have you made any decisions yet?
We have not made decisions around firm business models, but what it means is we are trying to figure out what the right groupings of business models are so that we can train examiners, have expertise in those business models. And I think some simple examples are clearing firms. A clearing firm's risks and what we would look at when we go in and examine a clearing firm can be and should be different than understanding the risks of business model associated with independent contractors and what we would look at and examine for a firm that is an independent contractor firm.
Will firms be able to provide feedback while you're considering various options?
Certainly, we're reviewing some of these ideas as we get a little bit further down and figuring out what we think those right firm grouping business models look like. We'll be asking for feedback from various FINRA committees. We have member forums and opportunities to get feedback there. We'll probably be working with some of the trade associations and getting feedback from their members. One thing I would highlight for everyone is wherever we end up with these firm groupings, it'll be very clear that we could have gone in any number of directions, and there will inevitably be firms that we put in one firm grouping that they might argue belong in another firm grouping. This is going to certainly be more of an art than science. But the idea is, again, to get a deeper understanding of a firm's business model, the risks associated with that business model, so that we can tailor our exams and our risk monitoring programs to address the risks there and really better allocate our resources to higher risk areas. We'll look to receive feedback from members throughout the country and our districts on an ongoing basis, because when I think about FINRA 360 and that being a project to get feedback from our members on what we can do to improve, I think that we just turn that into the way we operate on an ongoing basis instead of it being a discrete project and point in time. It will be part of our DNA that we are constantly in a feedback loop, understanding what's working and what we could improve upon.
And you've mentioned a couple times now that examiner training is a big focus, and not just for training itself, but also for career growth. Why is that such a focus?
Well, everybody wants to be well-trained for the job that they're asked to do. So that training, first and foremost, is important to our examiners and the folks on our team. It's equally important when they go into a firm that they're adequately trained in what to look at when they're going in and examining a firm and interacting with a firm. Career growth is very important. There are probably some people out there that are not interested in growing their career and developing themselves, but for those who are, it's important that we have programs that make those opportunities available consistently throughout the country and throughout our team.
I'm sure that's not just unique to FINRA. I'm sure every industry has people not interested in growth and those interested, so don't think that's unique here. But you also mentioned in the announcement that there's going to be a new single point of contact for firms. How do you see this changing a firm's relationship with FINRA?
Well, I envision it's going to improve the firm's relationship with FINRA. The single point of accountability is really a single point of accountability for the exam and regulatory coordinator function for a firm grouping. So they will be able to, again, better understand what we're looking at for at a particular firm based on that firm's business and look across that firm grouping. Again, if I use independent contractors as an example, making sure that we're examining those like firms in a similar way, but keeping in mind the difference in size and expectations around that.
And in the FINRA 360 progress report earlier this year, FINRA mentioned a number of other improvements to the examination program, including enhancements to the risk-based framework, improvements to information sharing, and improving processes for information requests. How does this program consolidation build on these changes?
It takes them to the next level. So I think those changes have been very positive, and I've actually heard some very positive feedback from firms who are undergoing exams either right now or recently underwent an exam and noticing the positive difference that those changes have made. And what we will look to do is keep what's working really well today, build upon that as we move towards this future structure.
And as I mentioned in the beginning, you've been quite busy with travel over the past 6 months since you joined. You've traveled a lot with Robert on his listening tour, visiting not just firms, but also staff across the country. What's some of the most interesting feedback you've heard in these visits?
So the feedback I've heard in the visits is consistent with what I talked about a little bit earlier. It's consistent with what Robert has heard in his first couple of years with FINRA. And what's interesting to me is that as I've gone out and visited the districts and the teams in the districts is that some of their frustrations align with some of the firm's frustrations. So I think that they are very much looking forward to the next evolution of the exam program.
Has any of this feedback shaped or changed your decisions when it comes to the future of the exam and risk monitoring program?
It's certainly informing decisions, and I think it's really important that our line staff and staff throughout the country have an opportunity to inform where we're going. What I think might be a really great idea sitting in my office may be completely impractical when it comes to actually executing on the ground. So I think getting that feedback from a broad group of people and understanding the different ways in which we can improve our program, there's rarely one answer or one way to approach solving a problem. And I look at this as if we get diversity of thought across the country and our teams, we're going to come to better answers for everybody.
And how long do you think this process is going to take?
I certainly think it's going to take throughout next year, but we will look to make changes throughout the year that will build towards that future state. So this is not going to be a big bang that things remain a status quo today and we wait until the end of next year and then flip a switch and make substantive changes. We'll look to make changes throughout the year as it makes sense.
Do you think there's anything we missed that we should add?
Nope. I will add that I really appreciate all the feedback that I get when I meet with members and staff, and that I hope we keep that dialogue going, because even once we execute on this transition, we will continually look to evolve and improve our programs, and getting that constant feedback on what's working, what might be improved upon will be really important.
Well, thanks, Barry, for joining us today. I'm sure we'll have to have you back when some of these decisions are filled in and made over time. So we look forward to that. But from New York, I'm your host, Caitlin Kiernan. If you have any questions for future guests or ideas for future episodes, you can let us know at finraunscripted@finra.org, or you can reach out to us on social media. Until next time.
Please note, FINRA podcasts are the sole property of FINRA, and the information provided is for informational and educational purposes only. The content of the podcast does not constitute any FINRA rule or amendment or interpretation of such rules. Compliance with any recommended conduct presented does not mean that a firm or person has complied with the full extent of their obligations under FINRA rules, the rules of any other SRO, or securities laws. This podcast is provided as is. FINRA and its affiliates are not responsible for any human or mechanical errors or omissions. Parties may not reproduce these podcasts in any form or reference them in any publication without the express written consent of FINRA.